Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, we read these words. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. This is God's holy and infallible word. Congregation of Jesus Christ, when you think of the life of the Apostle Paul, you'll recall that he was, of course, Saul of Tarsus prior to being called by God and saved by grace on that road to Damascus. I'm sure that many who were in missions at that point prior to Paul's conversion, many who were in the church who feared the Apostle Paul because, of course, he was persecuting the church, might have given up on the Apostle Paul, might have said, there's really no hope for that guy. He is an enemy of the church. What possible good can Saul of Tarsus be? And what possible thing could change Saul of Tarsus and his heart and his mind and affect him? And I'm sure there might have been among the early Christian community many who had given up, or as Paul writes it in these words, lost heart, as he says in verse 1. But he says, we do not lose heart, because it is, of course, Paul himself who experienced that great transformation of the gospel of grace, that gospel which transformed him from the persecutor to the preacher, the gospel that transformed him from the one who hated and even killed some of the people of God to the one who laid down his life for them, who, as he recalls in 2 Corinthians 11, on account of his being an apostle and preaching the gospel, now himself the object of persecution, he said he received 39 lashes on 5 separate occasions from the Jewish authorities. He was whipped 5 separate times, and they were given 39 lashes each time. He received beatings, he was stoned, he suffered shipwreck, he suffered the lack of comfort and security and endured personal and physical hardships, yet he did so now without one complaint. And he did so because he now, as a child of God, was a person who, by the power of grace, had come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is the one who pens these words for us and says, we do not lose heart, no matter what, because God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. Verse 6, the light of the glory of God is made known in the face of Jesus Christ. And he says, but we have that treasure, which he speaks of in verse 6, in jars of clay. What I'd like you to look at with me this morning are the 3 things that are in this text that we do not lose heart because every believer possesses that same treasure that Paul speaks of the unfading glory of God. We do not lose heart because every believer has been given this great treasure by God in a most unlikely container, and that we do not lose heart because every believer has that same unsurpassable power in his or her life that's at work in the life here of the Apostle Paul and of those to whom he writes. We're tempted, perhaps, to lose heart, sometimes because we are small in number, sometimes because we look at some to whom we have spoken over the years and there seems to be no movement. Hearts are hardened. People are unresponsive, and perhaps like others, we're tempted to give up. But Paul writes, we do not lose heart, because the unfading glory of the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ has been given to us. And that's what he calls here in verse 6, a treasure. It's a beautiful verse. I'm sure that we're familiar with it. And in verse 7, he speaks of it as a treasure. I should say verse 7. This treasure, what is that treasure? Well, it is the unfading knowledge of the glory of God in Jesus Christ that he speaks of in verse 6. That revelation of God, of his grace and of his love and of his salvation in Christ. Paul is able to summarize in a short space, these few sentences, the fullness of God's gospel of love and mercy. And he compactly speaks of that here, of the unparalleled love of God for his people by sending the incarnate Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, to become flesh, to live and die in our place as our substitute, to die in the place of sinners so that all who believe on him would be saved from the wrath of God upon their sin. Paul calls that a treasure. It's a treasure that's given to every child of God, and it belongs to every child of God, that treasure of having a mediator between God and us, one who is able to bring us into the presence of God, one who suffers on our behalf so that we may not suffer for our sin, rather that we receive the forgiveness of our sin, so that the fulfillment of what we have heard so many times over in Numbers chapter 6 verse 25 has come to pass in the glory of Jesus Christ. You remember Numbers 6 verse 25 is where that great benediction is placed, where it speaks of the Lord turning his face toward you and giving you peace. It is in Jesus Christ that God turns his face toward you, and through Jesus Christ that he gives you peace, because the knowledge of God and of his grace is shed abroad in your hearts. It's like a light is opened up in the darkness so that you may experience that forgiveness and that knowledge of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And Paul says in our text, verse 7, we have this treasure, a deep assurance that God has come to us in Jesus Christ. The very gospel has been given to us and placed in our hearts, conveyed to us through unusual means. The preaching of the gospel, Paul will say in another place as he writes his epistles, he writes and says, God is pleased through the foolishness of preaching to save. He uses the preaching of the gospel, the declaration of the gospel, and through it the accompanying power of the Holy Spirit to open hearts and change hearts and transform hearts and make them new. And God's word tells us here that we have that treasure in our hearts, that same treasure, that same gospel that transformed Saul of Tarsus. Remember, Saul of Tarsus, before he became the Apostle Paul, was that feared individual whom the church feared, because as it's given in Acts chapter 9, he was actually breathing out fiery threats against the church. I always look at that and think he must have been a dragon. Breathing out threats against the church. When you mention the name Saul of Tarsus, the church would quiver in those days, because he was known for his work of suppressing the church, of coming to arrest people who were in the church. His goal as Saul of Tarsus was to stamp out the church, but God changed him. And if God can change Saul of Tarsus, he can change anyone. It's the same today. The truth that transforms is the truth that changes people's hearts by the work and the power of God that restores that broken image, that image of God by which we are to reflect the glory of God. Broken by sin, it's repaired by grace. Broken, restored, that treasure is transforming, that treasure is repairing, that treasure, the gospel, is the power of God that invades broken homes and broken lives and broken hearts, and deals with the ravages and the vestiges of sin, and takes what is a hopeless situation and turns it around and makes it new, and takes a Saul of Tarsus, who is the most feared, to become the Apostle Paul, who is the most revered of all of the writers of Scripture, and one of those who has given us so much of the message of God, a very blessed vessel through which God's word has come to us. That should give us hope and impetus for our missions programs in the Church of Jesus Christ. What's the reason that the church can send out missionaries, whether it's Satoshi to France or others to other fields? And what's the hope that we have that we can send those people out? The hope is this, that it's through the power of the preaching of the gospel which they are called to do, that God is purposed to gather people to himself, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring life to the lifeless, to bring salvation to those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who by calling upon the name of Jesus Christ receive then the unfading glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We do not lose heart, because every believer possesses that great treasure, and we do not lose heart because God has given us that great treasure in what Paul tells us here is a very unlikely container. It's one of my favorite texts as it applies to those who are called to preach the gospel. We have this jar, we have this treasure in jars of clay. You of course know that a jar of clay was the pots and pans of the day. You'd go to the market, and if you needed something for your kitchen, which wasn't much in those days, if someone had some pots to sell, you might get one and you use them. They were almost always made out of clay, jars of clay. They had their use, but unlike stainless steel, they could break. With unbelievable irony, Paul says that the magnificent treasure of the gospel rests in what he calls a depository and gives it a name, jars of clay. God puts his treasure in clay pots. To us, that would be like putting perfume in an old oil recycling can. You say, that's not what we would do. Of course not. But that's the contrast that's here. That's inconceivable that you would do that. To us, it's inconceivable that God would take that treasure and put it in a common, ordinary, cheap, and disposable vessel, the clay pot. But that's the very point that the Apostle Paul is making. The point is this, it's not the container that's valuable, the vessel, the person that's preaching. It's what's in the container that's valuable. And what's in the container, we have this treasure, this gospel that he has lifted up, this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're the unlikely container. We're designed for God's service and for God's use. God uses even imperfect, weak, suffering, perishing men, fragile, ugly, sinful, temporary, and completely incongruous with the glory of the gospel. But it's that very clay pot that God has chosen to use to disseminate his gospel. The striking contrast is drawn here by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul to pinpoint the one fact that it's the glory of God that's in focus, not the clay jar. We should apply that to the church. It's the glory of God that's in focus. It's not the minister or the person who carries out the task of preaching. It's what is preached. What is so important is what is preached. What is so important is that it is the gospel that is set forth, that Christ is set forth, that you might see him, that you might glorify him, that you might hear him, that his power might come to you. And through the ministry, God uses fragile clay jars, ugly in comparison to the message that is brought. God uses that to manifest his glory and to bring sinners into the kingdom of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sharp contrast that is to the modern church emphasis we see today on pastors that are so successful. Turn on your TV, you'll see that in moments, the successful program, the successful church. The church always wants to look good before the world. But if the church wants to look good before the world, it's missed the point of Paul's message. We're simply called to be clay pots. The amazing thing is this, that the weakness of that vessel, its impurity, its problems, its cracks, present no barrier to the power of God. His purpose will be realized when his treasure, the gospel, is preached. It only takes a moment to think of how God has done that in history. He uses the weakness of humans to accomplish his purposes in redemption. Think of what God did with a blind, bedridden poet. Her name was Fanny Crosby. She authored thousands of hymns. We sing them almost every Sunday. Think of a paraplegic, all four limbs, 50 years ago, paralyzed. But Johnny Erickson today continues to carry out a worldwide ministry of compassion and the love of Jesus to those who are in need. I think of a crook in jail who served a president who said, "I am not a crook." Remember who that was. But Chuck Colson, who was put in prison for what he did, became a Christian, became a believer, and established a worldwide ministry called Prison Fellowship. Through that ministry, thousands and hundreds of thousands of people's lives have been changed. There was a surly sea captain many years ago on a slave trading ship. Slave trading ships were not known for being kind and compassionate to the cargo slaves. They were simply lined up like salmon, literally. Pictures of these survive, and not pictures, but drawings, picturing what took place. History records how ugly the slave trade was, but God transformed the life of a slave trading ship's captain to become a minister of the gospel who wrote a hymn called Amazing Grace. John Newton became one of the great ministers of the gospel, but considered himself simply a clay pot through whom the gospel went forth. The list of unlikely containers is endless because God's in the business of using clay pots for his glory, for his purpose. He'll use you. He will use me, no matter what your weakness is, as a clay pot. If there's a crack, if there's some thing that's not right about that clay pot, there might be something that's malformed. That clay pot, you and I, our weakness is insignificant to God because God makes his purposes and carries out his purposes through our weakness, as Paul will go on to say in this very passage, and accomplish his purpose because the power of God works through these unlikely containers to accomplish what God says he's going to accomplish. So you may serve God no matter who you are. You may serve God because you have a purpose. You may come to God and know God through his grace and through his salvation and through his gospel. And that's the message we can bring to our world, that they may come, and we do not need to lose heart because it's not up to the clay pot to make the difference. It's the power of God unto salvation that works through us, that brings about the glory of God. So don't lose heart. This treasure is in an unlikely container by the purpose and the power of God. And don't lose heart, because every believer has the unsurpassable power of God at work in his or her life. God's power is unsurpassed. You only need to think of creation for a moment. I don't know if you've traveled to the Western states and if you've seen Mount St. Helens, but so many years ago now, when it exploded, it lost 1,300 feet of the top of the mountain. It spread its ashes sometimes feet deep, hundreds and hundreds of miles from the mountain. It's really a significant testimony to power. God made that mountain. We know of the tsunami that took hundreds of thousands of lives some years back, and only weeks ago, or a week ago now, Hurricane Harvey, which has destroyed over 500,000 structures, and lives have been changed and will be changed forever. The list could go on. How do you describe God's power? When Paul seeks to describe God's power, he speaks in chapter 4, verse 6 of the light of creation. Let the light shine out of darkness, recalling what is said in Genesis, let there be light, and there was light. God, who is sovereign, has made all things. One of the things I love about the creation account is that marvelous phrase. He made the sun and the moon, and then there's that little, almost insignificant addition, you know, teensy-weensy statement, and the stars also. Have you ever looked at the stars? The glorious beauty of the stars, and he made them too. God's power is so beyond our ability to comprehend. But it is the power of God that's at work in these clay pots. We have that power of God to accomplish his mighty purposes so that he might lift us out of our powerlessness into the glory of his kingdom. You can rest assured that God's mighty purpose to save his people will be accomplished by his power, by the power of the gospel, not by the power of the clay pots. You may be assured that the power of the message of his gospel rests with him and his power and not with us. It's our duty to proclaim it. It's up to us to be his instruments, but it's through us that he shines forth, and the power of his gospel and the glory of his Son, our Savior, is demonstrated, and he brings people to himself. And so you can be confident that when you tell people about Jesus Christ, that God's at work through that message that you bring, and he's going to bring people to Jesus. You can be confident that when the ministry of the gospel goes forth from the pulpit, that the word of God will not go forth without accomplishing what God said it would do. You can pray for that blessing of God upon his word every time the word is ministered, so that the word will accomplish God's purpose and the power of God might be demonstrated. And you might also remember that that's the reason you come to sit under the ministry of the preaching of the word, not to hear someone in the pulpit that you like or you think is doing a good job or maybe isn't doing a good job. But the great important purpose of hearing that which is proclaimed from the pulpit is that you're sitting under the ministry of the powerful word that comes from God through an unlikely container. And when God's word is faithfully preached, when God's word is faithfully proclaimed, you receive that unfading glory of the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ. Why would you rob yourself of a blessing of hearing God's word? Why would you rob yourself of God's blessing by failing to receive that word? Why are there so many who don't come and who are not involved? They're robbing themselves of that beautiful, glorious treasure that God has given to those who are in Jesus Christ. And rest assured that when you come and hear that word, that the blessings that God has reserved for you, which he says are yours in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1 verse 3, they will be yours even in the midst of difficulties, disappointments, trials that you go through. Because through that word, you fix your eyes upon not what is seen, but what is unseen. The eye of faith looks beyond what we go through now and reaches out and latches onto and rests comfortably in the power of God. And that's what gives us hope. That's why the apostle says we have this hope in us, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What greater joy could there be than to know that God is speaking through his word? And through that word, he declares that we belong to him. What greater assurance could we want or have than to know that when we receive his word, we know that God is speaking his word to our hearts by his Spirit to assure us that that treasure, his gospel, his Savior, our Savior, is ours, and that forgiveness And salvation is ours, never to be taken away for all eternity. And what greater certainty could we have than to know that all this is done, all this is given, all this is assured by the unsurpassed power of God, not by whoever's preaching that day, not by whatever church you happen to attend, but because God has been pleased to give this treasure in clay pots to be at work in us and through us, and he will not cease until we stand in his presence and glorify him for all eternity. One day, Jesus Christ will come and take his bride home. His church will come. Then it will be without blemish and without stain. We will bear his name and we will glorify him for all eternity, and we will be in his presence, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's why the hymn writer says, oh, what glory that will be. And when we realize that, that's why we can say with the Apostle Paul, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. We are strengthened by faith in that word that comes to remind us that we have this treasure in jars of clay. May that be that which strengthens your heart this day. Amen.